Well, good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here this All Saints Day with you all. A few announcements as we begin our service. We have several committee meetings. First of all, worship committee will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. We're going to be meeting in Brown Chapel. We're going to be finishing up the book, The Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations. But today, the NOW committee will be meeting right after worship in Brown Chapel. And then the lay leadership committee will be meeting about 12:05, 12:10, something like that, right after worship in my office for about 10 or 15 minutes at the most.
And the choir's going to meet in my office.
And the choir's going to be meeting in Ann's office. Ann, why is your office bigger than mine?
Well, I got more people in there.
Okay, and seniority. There we go. I relent.
Remember, I've been on this organ bench longer than you've been on the earth.
I know. But I thought you were only 39.
29.
Well, on a slightly more serious note, if we're going to try to take up a special collection for relief efforts for after Sandy up in New York City and New Jersey and elsewhere, if you would just write on your check or on the offering envelope or something like that, Sandy Relief, then we'll get it directed to the right sources through UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, which 100% of your donations goes to help, and there are immediate things that they do. It's a wonderful organization through the Methodist Church. So I encourage you to support that as you're able later on in the service. November newsletters will be out sometime in November. This week sometime. Thank you for your patience with all of that. Also, there is a Safe Sanctuaries training session, actually two of them, that are going to be offered next week. The first one is going to be during the Sunday school hour, well, approximately, about 9:30 in the Fellowship Hall next Sunday. David will be doing the... would you like to say something, David? Yeah. Thank you, David. There's also going to be one the next day, if you can't make the one on Sunday morning next week, a repeat of that session will be offered Monday night at 7 p.m. in Brown Chapel. Also, no trustees meeting this Thursday. That's been canceled. Margaret, do you have anything you would like to add with the SAMS meeting on Saturday, or the outing, rather? Luncheon and show. If you want lunch, let Margaret know immediately, right? Well, just wanted to draw your attention to that as well. One other announcement. The care packages for college students. If you have a student who's in college or away somewhere, please let Marty know or another member of the Friendship Circle. They can, they're trying to get names together to send out these care packages to our students who are away at various places. So please get that information to her and update whatever so that we can make sure that our college kids are taken good care of. Are there any others? Well, if not, I invite you to stand as we join together the first three verses of hymn number 711, For All the Saints.
If you will, turn to page 755 for our responsive reading, which is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The world and those who dwell therein.
For God has founded it upon the seas
and established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend it? The hill of the Lord.
And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts,
who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord,
and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord,
who seek the face of God.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
Who is the ruler of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
Who is this ruler of glory?
The Lord of hosts.
Now and ever shall be, world without end.
You may be seated, and as you are, the children are invited forward for a special time. I am so pleased to have so many children coming up here on Sunday mornings. If you all could read, and I'm going to ask Ryan to help because I know he can. The front of our bulletin says, a service of worship. And then what does it say?
All Saints, Sunday, November 4th, 2012.
All Saints Sunday. That's what today is. And that's why we had a special choir processing in with what came before the choir. Does anybody know what those instruments were? Trombones came in, and one other one was, and a saxophone. So we had some wonderful brass music leading the choir in for this special day. But what is this special day? What is a saint? Do you know what a saint is? If we were part of a Catholic church or an Episcopal church or Church of England and some of the others that celebrate all the saints, they would have days that they lift up throughout the year for different saints in the church. But we recognize all the saints on this special Sunday as those that have gone before us into the church triumphant. What does that mean? What in the world is the church triumphant? Anybody have any ideas? Yes. I couldn't hear you. Heaven? Yes. Those that have gone on to heaven, those that have gone to be with God eternally. So saints, yes, there are saints that are recognized in a lot of different churches in a lot of different ways, but this morning we're going to recognize those. Well, I wasn't talking about those saints, but yes, there are some football teams that carry that name. That is true. Got to have a little levity here. But we're going to remember those people in the congregation, this very church, who died in the last year. And we have several names that we'll share at that special time. And it's just a time to remember that they were part of this congregation, part of our lives, part of the lives of many other people that aren't here this morning. And there may be a grandparent or a friend or somebody that you want to shout out the name of when we give time for that. Both of my parents have died, and so I like to take this day to remember my mom and dad. And Corey's other grandfather has died. So there's other people that will be lifted up during this time who we consider saints of the church, those that have gone before us to be with God. So let's remember all of those as we continue in our worship service today. Before our prayer, I just want to mention that Heifer Project International, we had pigs and cows and what else, chicks and geese, and bees in worship last Sunday. They didn't come back to worship with us today, but we're still collecting money for those possible animals to be given to a family that can help them with getting honey or milk or whatever else that particular animal can give. So Heifer Project is our loose change offering. Let us go ahead and give Ryan one of the bread tins. And Dean, will you go with him? And Barfo and Asia, if you'll go down the other side. But let's stand, hold on to it for just a minute. Stand for our prayer first. Gracious God, we thank you for organizations like Heifer Project and this opportunity to give to them. But we also thank you for this very special Sunday, this All Saints Sunday, to remember all those who have gone to live with you in the church triumphant. Amen.
and amen.
I'd like to say one more thing about Heifer International. A couple of things that are really neat about this organization are that it is sustainable, and there are sustainable agricultural practices which are taught by Heifer. Not only that, the people who have got a pair of animals are asked to give away the firstborn of those animals. So it's a sort of a pay-it-forward opportunity. Some of you who have been in the church for a while will remember a number of years ago when our youth Sunday school group raised $5,000 for a gift ark. That's two of everything, or more than that, of rabbits, ducks, geese, and bees, obviously. I don't imagine that we're going to do that in four Sundays collecting in the bread tins, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we did? So dig deep for Heifer International, please. This helps people abroad take care of themselves, feed themselves, provide milk for themselves and honey make them less dependent on other people's outreach, and then they outreach themselves to other people. Thank you.
Before our scripture lessons read, let us join our hearts together and our voices in our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. God of holiness, as we hear your word today, and as we rejoice in the faith of your saints, inspire us to follow their example with boldness and joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson this All Saints Sunday is taken from a story most of us probably know very well, the raising of Lazarus, taken from John chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. Hear now the good news of life. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet. And she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench, because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When Jesus said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You ever been asked a dumb question before? I think most of us probably have from time to time dealt with these dumb questions. If I was a little more like my friend Brian, our friend Brian there at Haywood Street, I would come down and ask you all to share with me one of those stories. But I'm not that good yet. But I have a story I'd like to share with you about the dumb question that Jennifer was one time asked. I had an intern down when I was pastoring in Baden whose name was Norm, and he was in seminary at Duke, and he worked with us for the summer. And Jennifer happened to be pregnant with Cora at the time. Cora's birthday was in August, so she was delivered in August, and Norm was with us up almost until August. And the next time we saw Norm, it was about 2 years later, something like that. And Norm, he sees Jennifer and he says, "Wow, Jennifer, have you lost weight?" She says, "I gave birth." "Yeah, I guess." Dumb questions. Well, my least favorite, but my most memorable dumb question that I'm often asked as a pastor. If someone knows that I've been conducting a funeral or something, or that I've had a funeral to go to, and I return, my mother's infamous for this. She'll call us on the phone and she'll say, "Oh, well, do you know what I'm getting ready to say? How did the funeral go?" What's even the response to that? I don't know. What's the best response? I don't know. I tell my mother this all the time. I said, "Mom, it went terribly. He's dead. You know, he didn't sit up in the casket. He didn't jump around and all that sort of stuff. We buried him and cried and prayed and remember." However, when Jesus shows up, things tend to be different, don't they? In Scripture, when Jesus comes on the scene, things are different. Dumb questions start not really being part of the picture, and instead, everybody's jaw just drops open and wonders, "Who is this that even the wind and waves obey? Who is this that the blind are made to see? Who is this that the lame are made to walk?" When Jesus shows up, we should clearly start to expect the unexpected. When Jesus shows up, protocol seems to go out the window. When Jesus shows up, amazing things start to happen to regular folks. When Jesus shows up at a wedding, he changes 155 gallons of water into wine, doesn't he? That's at the very beginning of John's gospel. At the end of John's gospel, coming up in the story here, Jesus is at a funeral and he brings the dead to life. When Jesus shows up, it's anything but dull, isn't it? But our world seems so different from this story. Our world seems so incredibly different. There's an Episcopal priest whose name is Robert Capone, and he says this. He says that we are in a war between dullness and astonishment. In a war between dullness on one side and astonishment on the other. Dullness and astonishment. The most critical issue facing Christians is not moral sorts of battles that we tend to fight between abortion and all sorts of other stuff, the disintegration of the family, moral absolutes, drugs, racism, sexism, all that sort of stuff. None of these are the biggest issues, in my opinion, facing the church. The biggest issue facing the church, big C, is dullness. Dullness. We've lost our astonishment over the years, it seems. We've changed the good news to okay news, you know. We've changed all these sorts of things that should just make us jump up and leap out of our coffins to just nice words. Things that can help us, you know. Christianity is no longer life-changing, it's now life-enhancing. Jesus, it seems, doesn't change people into wild-eyed radicals anymore. He just changes them into nice people, you know. It seems to me that if Christianity is about just being nice and being dull, I'm not too interested in it, you know. But Christianity is not about that. And that's one of those things that we have, as a church, that we have to rail against, is this issue of just being dull, you know. I mean, that, in my opinion, is one of the biggest issues facing the church, not just ours, but the whole church universal, is this issue of dullness. We've taken Jesus, who was quite radical, and we've taken out that little bottle of hand sanitizer, you know, we poured it all over him, you know. It's like, oh, Jesus, that what you were saying there, sell everything we have and follow you, take out the hand sanitizer, you know. Get it, calm him down a little bit. He's talking out of his mind here. Whenever he says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you and who spitefully use you. Pray for them and love them. Oh, Jesus, calm down. You got that strange twinkle in your eye again, Jesus. Calm down just a little bit. We've sanitized Jesus to where he's not so dangerous, to where he's not so life-altering, and to where he's now just life-enhancing. There's a popular movie back a few years ago called Dogma. I don't know if anyone saw it. I'm not lifting this movie up as a wonderful example of a movie. It was entertaining. It's one of those that had Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Chris Rock, who was my favorite in there. He was Rufus, the 13th apostle, kept out of the Bible because he was black. You gotta like that. It was a good movie, but I wouldn't say a great theological movie by any stretch of the imagination. However, this should give you a sense as to what it was like. George Carlin, the crude and infamous comedian who passed away a few years ago, he played this Catholic archbishop, Cardinal Glick, and he had taken it upon himself to revamp the church, to make it not so dull and dreary, and he had retired the image of the crucifix and had instead adopted one that he called the Buddy Christ. Here's a little statue of it that is from the... I wish you could see. It's Jesus, and he's got a big heart right here, and he's got a big smile, and he's got the thumbs up, and he's doing this. You know, that's the Jesus we want, not the Jesus doing this. The Jesus doing this, right? Jesus with a big smile, not the Jesus of our faith, not the Jesus who just went through so much in his life and who goes through so much in our lives with us. I think we've certainly adopted more of a look of this Jesus rather than just being uncomfortable, just being astonished, just being changed, moved, altered by his life-changing word. One of the things that really stood out to me in this story is the stuff that Jesus did, but also the way that the people perceived him. In that group that was there, they totally did not expect for a guy who had been dead for 4 days to walk out of a tomb. And even if he did, he probably wasn't going to smell very good, right? And so they don't expect all this, but Jesus says to them not to raise the dead. Jesus tells them to do two things. He tells them to roll away the stone, and then whenever Lazarus comes out, he tells them to unbind him and let him go. Those are the only things Jesus asks of them. Oftentimes, I think we as the church tend to think that Jesus asks us to raise the dead, that Jesus asks us to do the impossible. No, Jesus doesn't ask us to do the impossible. That's why he's there. If we could do it all on our own, we wouldn't need Jesus, would we? But we do need Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask us to do things that are impossible. He does ask us to do things that are uncomfortable, to do things often that might not even make the most sense. Roll away that stone, unbind him, set him free. Jesus doesn't ask us to do the impossible, but he does ask us to do. I'm just always taken aback by this story. I don't know quite why. Lazarus, I want to know more about him. I want him to be a more prominent figure in John's gospel. I want to know, what did he see during those 4 days when he was not in his body? What did Lazarus do? What happened in the midst of all that? He was dead, and then all of a sudden he's alive. What happened in all that? Lazarus, tell me about heaven. Lazarus, tell me about the afterlife. Lazarus, come on, help me out here. What's God look like? You know, what happened whenever you were in that tomb? But Lazarus is just as silent as that tomb, and so is John. He tells us nothing more about Lazarus other than this crazy thing. But what's important is not what the afterlife is like. What's important is not what Lazarus saw then. What's important is not the what or the how, but the who. What's important is that the afterlife is like Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life, he tells us. We're not told the particulars of how the afterlife will be. We only know who gives it to us. We only know who it is that gives us the source of life. And we only know his astonishing stories and the things that he did. And if Jesus has anything to do about it, whenever we get up there, I'm sure it'll be anything but boring. But please, whatever you do, try not to ask him a dumb question. Amen.
I failed to mention our new approach to our prayer requests, and so many of you may not have seen, but it does say in the bulletin that we're going to not continue to list each, but at the end of each month we will kind of clean the bulletin list and start anew. So if there are requests beyond these, Elaine Poovey had foot surgery on Thursday and she's at home doing fine. We've had requests for, of course, all the hurricane victims and recovery and all that's going on with that, as well as for Steve Ellis with pulmonary fibrosis. Anyone else? Let us turn to God in prayer. Holy, holy, holy God, we come before you this day to pray and sing and worship you. Hear our silent confessions as we name them in our hearts. Hear those prayer requests that are not written in the bulletin but still heavy on our hearts. And as we come together to celebrate this day, all the saints who have gone before us, remind us that we can indeed lift them as we leave this place by our actions and our continuing to share your message with others. Hear now these names of our congregation who have joined the church triumphant. Eunice James, Dick Davis, Jack Jarvis, Beth Gilbert, Rini Bochipatan, all those who have given their lives in service to our country. And now I invite you to share the names of other family and friends. Betty Brookshire,
Virginia Carey,
Betty Long,
Marty Hamlin,
Eunice Sensman,
Martha Dixon,
Louise Atkins,
Sam Down,
and the names could go on and on. So here in silence now, let us pray before our God. Thank you, God, for all these lives who have touched us personally and perhaps from far away. Be with us and all those congregations who are remembering those who are with you and who we grieve and miss. Amen. If the ushers will come forward.
And let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks for these and for all the blessings of life. Accept these our gifts to you, that they might go to relieve suffering, to bring hope, and to restore the astonishment of your love in this world. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to follow along with me on page 20 in our hymnal. We'll be doing the musical responses for communion this day. The choir and congregation, we're all invited to sing together where those musical responses are. Also, after we're finished with our liturgy, there will be a time and a healing station for healing prayer set up. David and Katie will be doing that over there. If you would like to visit that station, you're more than welcome to. And if you have special needs or anything, we'll be happy to bring the elements to you as necessary. Please just let an usher know. Invite you to join along with me. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through your prophets, you've promised us that you swallow up death forever and wipe away the tears from our eyes. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, the one for whom your people have waited, the fulfillment of your promise. He raised Lazarus from the tomb and showed us the way to eternal life. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Christ our Lord took a loaf of bread, and he gave thanks to you. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Eat from this, all of you, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to you. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, that all who believe might be saved. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there's one loaf, we, though many, are one in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in his blood. Come, let us keep the peace of Christ our Lord. us pray. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. For this bread and juice, we give thanks, and we go out into the world sharing from its strength. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. Grant that we may leave this place in the strength of your spirit, that we might give ourselves for others. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us pray. As you come willingly to this altar, go willingly from this sanctuary, blessed by the grace you have received. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this incredible mystery. The Lord be with us as we leave this place, that your mysterious presence might not remain here, but that it might go with us to all the world. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise for our final hymn. We'll sing verses 4, 5, and 6 of 711 for all the saints. Let's stand. Thank you.